Welcome everyone to Around the ACL. It's Michelle Thompson here with Jake Brannon and Wally Kassler. And we are coming to you. Trey is out of town, I believe. I think he was enjoying a nice weekend off.
He gone.
So I will be producing as well as hosting. So you're just going to have to deal with that. Get ready for it. It'll be fine. It'll be great.
Who's directing? Who's directing? That's the question. That's what we really need to work on, because
where's the director?
I was sitting there looking at the intro after what we kind of talked about before the show, and I'm like, when am Jake and I going to get some love? Like, I finally got on the bagging and bragging intro.
Yeah, you're not
and
then in it.
Canceled. Mm-mm. And I was like, Jake and I need some TV time love.
Well, this is the first time that my name has been in the lower third. It's always been Trey, Michelle, and Anthony.
I just made this. I made this just for you, and all you guys did was yell at me about how I didn't have graphics ready. I mean, it's like, you can't even appreciate the little things. I don't know.
Killing it, Mish. Killing it.
Anyways, getting ready for Vegas. It's already 90 degrees here, so I'm fully prepared for the heat. I don't know about you guys in other places in the world, but here in California, it's going to be just the same. So looking forward to Vegas. We're going to get into the preview there. We're going to talk about some news around the league. We're going to go over the top 10 shots from Cornhole Mania. Go through the team standings, and then we're going to talk about those final matches that we're going to see on the broadcast on ESPN, followed by Overreaction Wednesday. So let's just dive into it. Jake, I'd love to start with you. You saw the list of the people who are coming to the Open. You know, the West Coast Opens tend to not get as much love. So what'd you see on there? Who are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, we keep talking about all these things that are going on with the shootout and the ESPN broadcast and all the stuff, but there's still an Open to be played this weekend as well on Saturday and Sunday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, looking through the registration list, I love these Open events just because you always get pairings that you don't normally see. And that's really what I focus on when I'm writing it down. Obviously, the number one thing. Sorry, Wally, you let me talk first. I'm gonna shout him out. How about Jeremiah Ellis and Ryan Schrader teaming up to play with each other here in Las Vegas? That's gonna be a juggernaut of a team. It's gonna be a really hard team to beat.
People have spoken, right? They have listened.
I will say, I don't know, we've seen, you know, Jeremiah Ellis team up with other top dogs like Devin Harbaugh and haven't won. So we'll see what happens, but you have to think Ellis and Trader are the overall favorite. But then you look through the list, you have Hisner and Birchfield who are back together looking for their fourth Open doubles title of the season. And then you have some other interesting teams. Yeah, Fisher Hamilton playing with fellow Florida boy Alex Rawls. That's going to be a really fun team to watch as well. You have Hayden Gonzalez and Mason Trader. Hayden Gonzalez had that incredible game on the team's broadcast back in Colorado. You have Jackson Gore and Devin Harbaugh, Candler Bagg and Quinn Reeves, a couple elite players. Quinn Reeves will see him on the ESPN broadcast this weekend as well. A lot of really top stacked teams. It's going to be a really fun Open to watch.
Muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's my first time.
Oh,
I'm telling you. It's Tuesday, but it feels like Monday to me. Wally, who are you looking at? I know you got some people you have on a list. Let's see it.
Yeah, I've actually came full circle on this, Mish. Whenever we were talking about Opens before, I believe it was me and Bernie were doing ACL Live. We're sitting there talking like, you have to play with your pro partner. You have to get ready for the pro season. You need all the practice you can get. Why mix and match it? I've come full circle. I love the mixed pairings now. I am a complete opposite of who I was last year. I've sitting there listening to people complain and talk about and go back and forth. Rookie of the year talk. Who's going to win rookie of the year? Ryan Trader, Jeremiah Ellis. Let's throw Braden Wilson back in that mix as well. I said, you know what? Hey, guys, Vegas, let's make it happen. Let's pair up. Let's see what you guys can do together. Let's see what the people think about it. It's been nothing but positive responses. So,
Hold on. So you're responsible for this?
I'm matchmaker in this one. Yeah. Yeah, wow. I was sitting there at Top Shooters, and I was talking to Jimmy Trader, and I was like, dude, I was like, Ellis is off to a hot start, and he's like, yeah, he's got Ricky there locked up. I was like, it's still early. It's only been one national, and he took it down. No big deal. Ryan can still take down a national and even things up. And then here we are coming in the second part of the Cornhole Mania, and Ellis has a chance to basically lock it up here after two events. So I said, you know what? Let's just get the two together. Enough of this Rookie of the Year talk. Let's just have fun and watch. So it's a little bit early for holy hot takes, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and say everyone going to Vegas is going to have a great time. Sorry, Jake. So, yeah, number one on my list, Jeremiah Ellis, Ryan Trader. You just talked about them. I think that these guys are both in the top 10 right now. I want to see what they do teaming up. Ryan Trader has experience throwing the Viper R, so I don't think it's going to be too much of a difficult switch for him to throw. But Ryan Trader's been one of these players that we've seen throw, you know, magics. He's thrown wizards. He's thrown mercenaries. He's thrown a whole bunch of different types of bags this year. And he hasn't taken a step back one time. Ryan Trader has always been there near the top. Jeremiah Ellis, we obviously know the skill. He's going to be comfortable. He's back to throwing the red bags. Him and Ryan Hart threw the blue bags. So that's Ryan and Jeremiah's thing. But Ryan Trader and Jeremiah Ellis, team to watch for sure. Loved what I saw out of Braden Wilson and A.J. Sims last time. At Cornhole Mania 1 in Colorado, A.J. looked to be back to form. Airmail was kind of on point for A.J. He had a couple times where he missed his airmail, but Braden Wilson is just showing, hey, guys, I'm also in the rookie of the year contention. I'm up here. I'm doing things in singles and in doubles. I thought about taking a holy hot take this week. I was going through who I wanted. I was going to be like, A.J. Sims is getting his first title this weekend. And then I looked at all these doubles teams. I'm like, I can't pick them to win. But, man, I would love to see A.J. and Braden take down an open. Jackson Gore and Devin Harbaugh teaming up for this one. I believe we've seen Jacob Gore and Devin Harbaugh before. I don't know if I've ever seen Jackson and Devin team up together. So I'm kind of excited to see this one. Again, same thing with Ellis and Trader. What bags are they going to throw? Who's going with what? I guess we'll find that out whenever we get there. But Jackson Gore has been peaking at the right time. He'll be on broadcast for the High Rollers this weekend. And Devin Harbaugh, we just know what he can do. Really excited to watch this pairing. Levi Haddock and Austin Waskow. Last time I saw Levi Haddock was on Bryan, Texas. Had a huge run down there at one of the other events. But Levi Haddock definitely on the radar. We know what Austin Waskow can do. Levi's kind of following the Sammy Soto route. Whereas if he wants to be pro, he can be pro. And I want to see if he wants to go after it. Austin Waskow, we already know what he can do. Had some experience there with the high school and college stuff. And then Sammy Soto and Gavin Cano. I mean, this is a stacked top five that I have to watch. Not even mentioning some of the other teams that I'll mention here in a second. But Sammy Soto and Gavin Cano, probably two of the hottest doubles players this entire season. And Gavin Cano, I don't even know how many blind draws, how many doubles titles he has. We're at open number 14. I bet you he has 7 or 8 plaques from just this year alone in singles and doubles. Some other teams I want to mention real quick before I let Jay kind of feed off of that. Cody Henderson and Jay Dotson teaming up. That's always a fun pairing. Those guys like to get chirpy, like to throw with each other. Colby Shearer and Derek Holland. Jimmy Humans and Frank Verona. Whenever we see Frank Verona kind of break on the scene, is basically him and Jimmy Humans. So I want to see what they can do. Fun pairing here for me. Cameron Belvin and Brandon Bubenheim. It's like, Cheyenne, what's up? What's up? getting your man's took real quick. Cameron Belvin.
A little wife swap?
Yeah, maybe. I didn't see Noah teamed up there, but we'll see what's going on that with that one. Creek Killer and Ty Drywater. I'm not sure if Jake or either one of you guys are familiar with the Drywaters, but the Drywaters are very, very good throwers. They're from Matthews area, so very familiar with each other. Michaela Calvi and Gina Ramirez. Love seeing Michaela get a chance to throw with a top-tier player. Her and her sister are definitely elite, but I like kind of mixing it up a little bit. And then finally for me, Ryan Windsor and Cole Brewer. Another person, Ryan Windsor's going to be on broadcast this weekend, throwing with Creek Killer in the shootout format. But kind of cool to see him team up with Cole Brewer. They're very familiar with each other and pairing up for this Open.
Yeah, definitely a lot of good, strong doubles teams out there. I was saying earlier that usually the West is a little bit, you know, smaller registrations, but that's a lot of top players right there. Looking at the singles, anyone stand out to you there, Jake?
I mean, obviously they're at the top singles players that always do well. Like we mentioned, the Gavin Cano, we mentioned a Ryan Trader, we mentioned a Jeremiah Ellis. But you know, just looking through this list, this is going to be a really stacked singles bracket. We're gonna have Jamie Graham and Frank Bodlin out here. We don't normally see them travel to these Opens, so we got to look for them on the open side. Eric Davis has been torching it on the single side as well. You know, just looking through, there's a lot of top tier singles talent out here. Liking Jackson Gore, I'm liking Jake Trzynski. You know, Jalen Jones coming off a state championship, Ryan Hart coming off a conference title with Alec Ryan. It's gonna be tough to give, but man, I think the heavy hitters are gonna be out in this one here in Vegas. Just depends on I think it's gonna depend on how much time these players spend out on Fremont Street and, you know, having some fun rather than inside the venue throwing on the board. So we'll see what happens.
As I mentioned last week in Buy or Sell, if you're under 21, you have an advantage out here in Vegas.
For sure.
It's not going to pull you quite as much.
Yeah, so Bourbon Street was the culprit last time in Westwego. We were all kind of, you know, enjoying Bourbon Street. Some people missed their flight. You know, I'm not going to throw any names out there. But, you know, sometimes Bourbon Street get the best of you. Vegas is even worse. Vegas doesn't shut down. So, yeah, you could basically keep hanging out
until... And it's closer, right? Like, Bourbon Street, you got to travel, you know, in a 30-minute Uber ride. We're right there.
Yeah, this is outside your door. So, yeah, this is going to be kind of interesting. Some players that I want to watch out for in singles. You got Adam Hisner there at number 5. Adam Hisner is probably Mr. Consistency. Other than Gavin Cano and Jeremiah Ellis and Ryan Trader, Adam Hisner is right there as far as being in it in every single thing he does. Alec Ryan coming off of a hot doubles weekend with Ryan Hart. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, not to jump too far ahead. But Alec Ryan, I've been impressed with what he's been doing lately, stepping up a notch. We talked about him a couple of years ago, taking down the East Moline Open. Then, oh, he fell off. He's gone. I kind of think that Alec Ryan might be back a little bit. Candler Bag, I got some grief for putting Candler Bag at number 3 on my list. I mean, I feel like I have to channel on my early burning neighbors here and be like, again, this is not where we think they're going to finish. This is just players that I want to keep an eye on. Candler Bag, I'm not sure if he's actually going or not. I've kind of heard both stories. I've seen him sign up for singles and doubles, but I hope he's there. I love what I've seen out of Candler Bag. Trevor Kupfis.
He'll be there because he's playing in teams.
Well, I mean, that's what I've heard, but I also heard he backed out, so I don't know. So we'll see. But I think he is going to be there. I think whenever I heard he backed out, that was like a long time ago.
I just spoke with him a week ago, and he was
sweet. Good. Love to see it because he is an elite player. Trevor Kupfis, you talked about him taking down a shootout format. I talked trash on Trevor when he was on the broadcast, and he killed it. He made me eat my words. I'm sitting here like, okay, Trevor Kupfis, I see you, bro. I want to see it put together in a round, I'm sorry, in a 21 format rather than a round limited format. So I'm going to keep my eye on him. And then Mark Richards. I don't know what to think about Mark Richards right now. Like, Mark Richards is my number one player on my preseason rankings. I'm expecting him to do what he did before, which is just win everything. And now, I don't necessarily think he's getting beat by the elite competition. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Ellis. It's not Harbaugh. It's not, you know, Tony Smith or Trzinski. It's not one of these guys taking him down. He's just kind of off a little bit. Now keep in mind.
Is he off? Like, are you looking at his stats? I haven't checked his stats out.
I mean, I don't even know the stats. I'm just saying whenever I watch him, he's just like barely off a little bit, and he'll bleed twos at times. Mm. And it's just interesting to me because you can't read the guy. You know, he's a great poker player. You can't tell if he's struggling, if he cares. You can't tell what it is. I'm sure he cares and he wants it bad, but I want to see Mark Richards take down another singles title. It's been a while. It's been too long.
Yeah, definitely. I always just wondered that because I was looking at Caleb Batson, for example. Mm-hmm. And I was going to put in one of these, like, you know, we're worried about Caleb Batson. But then I went and looked at his stats, and he was throwing in the high tens. So I'm like, yeah, we can't be worried about him throwing in the high tens. I don't know why he's not winning, but, I mean, I'm not worried. Like, he's throwing in the low nines, I'm worried. I mean,
isn't this a great problem to have? First world problems here, how we're looking at 25, 30 players. Like, they're throwing in the high tens, and they're not even finishing the top 10. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's like, man, we are blessed.
I did actually ask Eddie Gundersleeve. I was like, what's going on? And he's like, we always start slow. I'm like, okay, that's fair. That's true.
This is where they started last time, right?
Exactly. I'm like, hey, that's a good point.
Didn't lose again.
Yeah, but the only difference was that, at least in my opinion, was that Caleb Batson graduated. And then that seemed to seem like have like a flip, but I don't know. You know, maybe it wasn't that.
He's right. Enjoying life now.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, we did have some news around the league. We had the Iowa State Championships, and our singles winner was Jalen Jones, and he also won doubles with Carson Getty. Colorado State Championships, singles Jackson Remick and doubles Remick and Hammond. And the Mid-South Conference, as you alluded to earlier, was taken down by Ryan Hart, and then doubles with Alec Ryan and Ryan Hart. So super impressive performance from Ryan Hart. I'll talk about him more a little bit later, but... Wally, I know you've always been talking about him.
Yeah, Ryan Hart, we've been friends for quite a bit. Whenever I went and hung out with Eric Zockline, we threw in what we call the Z-Shed and Eric Zockline's backyard, and everyone was like, look out for Ryan Hart, look out for Ryan Hart. And I said, all right, be careful what you ask for, because I'm going to keep my eye on this guy. And then we went and set up in Myrtle Beach. And we're all setting up. Ryan Hart's, you know, sitting in a chair. He's like, do that, do that, do that. And I was like, okay. Now we're going to be friends. I could tell. I was smart, Alec. So ever since then, I've kind of had a, you know, friendship with Ryan Hart. You know, I talk about him all the time on the live feeds about he's our best beer runner that we have in the American Cornhole League. He'll always make sure that we're well hydrated. So Jake and I have a special place in our heart for Ryan Hart, no pun intended. But he's starting to put it together on the boards now. We talked a little bit about this last year with kind of Philip Lopez Jr. and Mark Richards. You know, Mark Richards was the A plus, and then Philip Lopez was just the A. And it sounds bad that he's just the A, but I mean, like, he was really, really good, and we kind of overlooked it. And that's the same thing with Ryan Hart. Like, Ryan Hart's really, really good, and we're kind of overlooking it just because of how great Jeremiah Ellis is doing. So he's proven this weekend. I mean, you look at the Mid-South Conference, you know, it's not easy. It's Tennessee and Kentucky. Those are some strong areas. You got Ben Brown, you know, really, really good player. I'm not sure if you guys know anything about Ben Brown or not. Matt Guy, Brett Guy, Caden Allen, Terry Mathis, Carter Bennett, Justin Duke, Damon Dennis, Eric Zockline, you know, and Nate Stevens. Don't forget about all these players. And Ryan Hart's the one that comes out on top, you know, teaming up with Alec Ryan. That's a strong pairing. You got a lot of familiar partners there in the Mid-South Conference. So for Alec and Ryan to come out on top of it, very, very impressive. You know, Iowa and Colorado, it's kind of the same suspects, right? Jalen and Carson have been throwing very well in Iowa for years now. They kind of own it. It's their state tournament to lose, basically. And then Colorado. How happy are people in Colorado that Jackson and Gavin are moving away?
Do they have a chance? Get out of here. I was actually going to look back. I forgot. Like, they've won it at least 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah, if they haven't won it.
Maybe more than that.
Yeah, that's more than that. It's been domination. I mean, they've been pretty much there the entire time.
Well, because it's not just states. It's also conference events. I don't think they've lost a state or conference event all season long. And that's what I was focusing my part on. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a duo as dominant in one area of the country as Gavin Hammond and Jackson Remick have been. They always play together. They always win doubles. And then one of the two, they usually either finish first or second in juniors and first or second in open singles as well. Got to give them props.
Hashtag Team Hammond.
Team Hammond. I love it. Jalen Jones, Carson Getty, as Wally alluded to, also familiar faces in the Iowa circuit. You know, hopefully they can put something together, get some momentum going for Vegas. But yeah, man, Ryan Hart, while he said he's our best beer runner, but you know, Colorado, we were very thirsty all weekend because he's usually out early and he can get us beer. But this last weekend in Colorado, he stayed in it the entire time.
he needs to get his priorities in order. Cause I mean, yeah, look, what are we doing here, bro?
There's expectations now.
Yeah. You either get your name mentioned
broadcast or thirsty. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. But props to all these dudes. It takes a lot to win a state or a conference tournament. These guys have what it takes.
Good absolutely. Stuff. Absolutely. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how Colorado continues after next year as they leave. That's like,
Anthony's got a chance.
Anthony, let's go. Ione, come on. This is your time to shine.
Let's go.
All right. We had some awesome shots over in Cornhole Mania. In fact, Jake was appalled, Corey, if you're listening to this, appalled that a certain someone didn't make this top 10 list.
Yeah, it's crazy. Look, I don't like to get on a soapbox very often, but Trey Ryder and I called probably one of the greatest teams games of all time with Hayden Gonzalez and Jackson Gore for the Vegas High Rollers. And Hayden Gonzalez threw the bags five times. And in four of those five rounds, he hit an incredible shot. And not a single one of them is in his top 10. So, Corey, if you're listening, I got some grief with you, buddy.
Shame on you. Shame.
Shame. Shame.
But it's okay because we still have 10 incredible shots. Let's get into this top 10. Let's start off with a quick honorable mention. Take a look at this. I don't know if you guys are real big on the dance circuit because I know Wally is, but I'm not. Yeah. But, you know, if you want to get some dance tips, take a look at these two right here. The moonwalk from Jeremiah, the little shimmy. Look at the Trey Ryder in the background just watching him.
That was a moonwalk, and then that was a wave.
Yep.
I like how at the end of that, Chris threw it back to Jeremiah. It looked like a little whoop.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, they're getting ready for the bars and clubs in Vegas.
Starting off with number 10, Zach Scheibner, his patented roll. Kind of a little bit of coin slot action, super small hole in the back lip, and he gets it to roll over.
That's one of my favorite shots now.
The coin slot or the roll?
Yeah, coin slot. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try and make it to Hunter's Clinic because I saw Hunter's teaching advanced shot making skills. So if you haven't signed up yet, there's still time. Hopefully get it in there because I want to learn how to roll. I already promised Tony Smith by the end of the year I'm going to roll one bag.
I will say, look, we had to close the clinic, but Trip Baker taught how to roll a bag in ACL Academy, like broke it down to the point where I think I can learn. I'm not going to do it yet because I think I'll ruin my other shot because I still got to get my bag flatter. But like, just if you just watch that training, 100%, you'll know how to roll a bag.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna have to talk to Trip and Shibby because Shibby was on point right there.
Moving on, number 9. No surprise here, an Alex Rawls shot. Take a look at this backside drag. What a shot to leave Chris Roybal's bag there.
Alex Rawls, you kind of looked at that board setup. I've said it before and I'll say it again. He is the best at controlling how the rounds get played out. Through that blocker, knew the airmail was there for him the entire round. I think that I was watching that round and I was expecting to shoot it one bag before, and he elected not to, and because he knew he could do that. It's just ridiculous how good he is.
Yeah, why not?
Moving on, number 8. Wouldn't be a top 10 shot without a Tony Smith push. Take a look at this slick side down. Wanted both of them, only got one of them, but you know, still an incredible shot against Braden Wilson.
Yeah, Tony Smith, one of these players now, he's starting to kind of wake up at the right time. We talk about it all the time, how he can't get into it for open season. You know, and I went to the Northeast Conference. He was like, I think I need to throw a slower bag to get back into it. I said, yeah, man, dictate how the game gets played and start doing crazy shots. Like, you know, wake yourself up. You know, you got it in you.
I would be surprised because he loves those slinky bags.
Number 7, Cheyenne Bubenheim. Getting a clip here. Take a look at this. Going way up. Big time airmail drag. Wanted the other one as well, but still an incredible shot against Fisher Hamilton.
Fisher looked defeated.
He did. He was like, the bag is on slick side. It's on the back of the hole. How is it not going in? But like, the accuracy from Cheyenne, I mean, this is one thing that I think the women are going to have to work on is you're going to have to start dictating rounds and force Cheyenne to hit these airmails because, I mean, she can hit them. But they're a low-risk shot, and, man, she's just so good. It's insane.
Low percentage, high risk.
That's what I said.
Yeah, we got you.
Number 6, how about Gavin Cano getting in on the action here? I'm sorry, this is Eric Davis, excuse me. Eric Davis, big-time step out collect. He's so good with these collect shots, Eric Davis.
Yeah, Eric Davis, I mean, he put on a clinic over there. I had FOMO the entire weekend of all these shots you're kind of talking about. We were on broadcast court number 2, and then I hear – court number 1 with Hagan Gonzalez going crazy, all these awesome shots over there, and then I go to court 1, and then on court 2 Eric Davis is hitting ridiculous shots over here, so I missed out on all of them. So good job, Corey, getting at least some of them in here.
Oh yeah, gotta get the Davis more highlights.
More from Eric Davis later. Going into number 5, here's Gavin Cano against Sammy Soto. Look at this bar of soap. Only does he hit the bar of soap, but he doesn't collect Sammy Soto's bag on the left side. He is so good with these shot making.
That's brutal.
Yeah, that's brutal too, because like you were talking about it, it was the dagger. That after he hit that shot, Sammy was done. Sammy's demeanor changed entirely. That was the knife to the heart. I think he kind of gave up after that point, but I mean, I don't know if it would have mattered. Gavin Cano was hitting everything.
So we saw Gavin Cano hit a bar of soap. How about Chris Roybal against Gavin Cano, a bar of soap of his own, the same exact shot. Hits the bar of soap medicine off the board and leaves Gavin's bag on that left side. That was incredible.
Literally anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And I talked to Roybal. I'm like, did you like not coming in as like a favorite, like kind of an underdog? And he's like, I knew it would be that way, but
what
I'll
are you
show.
Talking about Jake had him as the player to win. That's
you had him as a player to win what?
The Jake's Jinx.
He finished second in the shootout bracket again.
He put him in the Jake's Jinx category.
Okay, well, it's your fault then. Oh man.
All right, number 3, Damon Dennis, down 20-13. Has to hit this bag. Not only does he get one, he gets them all incredible. For 7 to tie the game at 20. Damon Dennis with an incredible 3-bag drag.
Wasn't that after his beautiful roll?
I was going to say, how are we going to miss the roll bag on that clip?
I messaged him. I said, that roll bag, that's legit.
Yeah, there was somebody on court 2 And they were just watching the game. They were kind of off to my right-hand side. We were calling that round. And Damon Dennis hit the rollback. Crowd goes crazy. He hops over. And he's like, what just happened? I was like, Damon Dennis rollback. And then, boom, Damon Dennis hits the air mail. And I looked up. He's like, so nasty.
Crazy. Staying in it. Good job.
Number two, how about a little two-for-one action here? Carson Getty, Tony Forbes. Carson Getty hits this nice air mail. But the real star is this disgusting penguin from Tony Forbes bouncing over his bag collecting two.
That was ridiculous.
Tony Forbes penguin at number two. I mean, we think about Alex Hicks penguin one shot of the year last year. Mm-hmm. And here Tony is doing it on broadcast. Yeah, you get number two.
But here's number one. Well,
that's because by far the shot of the entire weekend, Eric Davis. Look at this pile. He steps into it, slick side down as hard as he can, bar of soaps two of Gavin's bags up over the hole, and picks up four. What an incredible shot, and absolutely deserving of the number one ranking for top 10 shots of Cornhole Mania 1.
You got it right.
I'm going to say one and a half bar of soap. The first one was kind of just pushed off to the side.
Okay.
But no, I mean, to hit that shot, though, at that speed – the accuracy that he has to put into that bag. It's such a low line drive to be able to even pull that off. It was ridiculous.
Well, because he had to change his whole throw too. He stepped, mm-hmm. he took a step into it. He doesn't normally step. So he had to change his mechanics on how he throws a bag too. That's incredible.
Yeah. Nasty.
I thought it was. And that's why he's the magician. We've got about halfway through our team's events here, so we're going to talk about some of the standings in the American North. The Pennsylvania Ringers are leading. It's a struggle. What can I say? I told you it's Monday in my brain. Pennsylvania Ringers 30-18 are leading the pack there with the Woodchucks right behind. For the American South, the Virginia Cutters and the Georgia Sliders are both tied 31-31. National Central, the Bully Baggers and the Mays are tied 29-26. And then in the National West, the High Rollers are leading 31-24. So those are your leaders. As we know, the top two in each region will make it to playoffs. So definitely some teams right in contention of that, and some very much, I think, I don't know if you could say they're out, but it would be tough. How about that? It would be tough. So Jake, what are your thoughts on where the teams land right now?
Man, my two biggest surprises so far are the New England Woodchucks and the Virginia Cutters. New England Woodchucks, they were on the live stream court during the team's event in Colorado when they were facing the Las Vegas High Rollers. And, you know, they were looking through the standings. They weren't doing too well. They needed a good performance against the High Rollers to be able to get back into this. And that's exactly what they did. They won 4 out of 3 against the top-tiered Vegas High Rollers to get themselves back into playoff contention in a tough American North division. But then we look at the American South. How about my Virginia Cutters? Come on, baby.
Whoa. I'm going to stop you right there, Jake.
From the bottom of the barrel.
You jump ship.
It was a fake jump ship. Just to get you. I've always been a Cutters fan at heart. From worst to almost first, I would say. They had the number one pick. They traded up to get the number two pick as well. They draft Sammy Soto and Jacob Gore. And look at them now. They are in first, tied for first place in their division. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the whole thing. I'm telling you.
Watch out for the Virginia
Cutters. Let's go, baby. That whole American South division is really confusing, because if you look at the American South last year, it was completely flipped. The Florida Freeze and the Carolina Coasters were the two teams that made the playoffs last season, and now it's the Cutters and the Sliders. We're gonna talk about it later on the show, but the Florida Freeze are starting to scare me. If you're a Florida Freeze fan, you need to be worried. But I'll leave it at that. But man, shout out Virginia Cutters, shout out the New England Woodchucks. But the way it's looking, it looks like it's going to be hard to beat the Pennsylvania Ringers again. They look dominant, 30-18.
They're right there, though. You know, look at
they are.
Ringers are at 63%. Woodchucks are at 62%. I mean, that is splitting hairs.
Well, with that being said, the Ringers' best record in the league, it looks like it's going to be tough to beat them again with the top duo of Devin Harbaugh and Justin Virton Jr., but you never know. You never know.
Yeah. Wally, what you think?
Yeah, some surprises for me. The Ohio Aviators, they went out of their way to pick up Gavin Cano as, you know, the trade early in the season with the Missouri Maize. Excuse me. And I'm the biggest Cutters hater. They already know it. I'm not going to shy away from it anymore. I always say whoever's playing against the Cutters, 5-2. And we're starting to have some fun with it. I was pretty impressed with them. They had some stinkers. I'm not really going to hold that against them, though, because we had so many elite players have to fill in for these broadcasts on Thursdays. It gets kind of hard. Now we're getting into the actual pro part where everyone's going to be at these events anyway. So with these standings being as close as they are, I really don't think it's going to be the same. I think it's going to get shook up really a bunch, basically, as we head into the final stretch, not counting them out. The Woodchucks, though, they started off 0-6, I think it was, at these Opens. So for them to be back into the second place in the standings with 62%, that's very impressive. And Missouri Maize kind of shocked me. I didn't expect the Missouri Maize to be off to this great of a start. We kind of looked at the Kentucky Colonels, you know, and I thought that they had a pretty good chance. It's only 53 to 52%, so it's not like it's that far off for them to be able to climb back in this one. The Cali Slingers, though, absolute best jersey in the league.
I don't want to talk about the Slingers.
But standing, not so much. Dude, that blue and black is tight. That blue and black is really, really nice.
I'll put it in the top five. Look, I'm a jersey aficionado. I'll put them in the top five.
But that's self-proclaimed. Got it.
Yeah. But I mean, the jinx is officially on, though, for the Cutters. So I'm fine with it. I'm a Florida Freeze fan because Jeremy Frazier got me the hat. So, you know, that's my bad. I haven't been wearing the hat. I forgot it last time. I'm going to bring it for all the pro events.
I'll fix everything.
And, yeah, it'll fix everything. You got the jinx. And then you got the K9 Freeze. So it's all going to fix itself by the end of the season. But, you know, one thing is, you know, I want to talk about the elite players in the pro teams event real quick, because some of these teams are handicapped because they have so many good players and they can only play one if all the other pros can make it. And I think that would shake things up quite a bit. So I'm going to keep an eye on how many elite players have to step up for these teams going forward. Now, like I said, with it being the pro division, these teams events kind of wrapping up on Thursdays now, I expect it to kind of even itself out, but shout out to all the elite players filling in. I know it's not easy. So, you know, let me give them a little credit real quick.
They're getting it done. It's impressive for sure. One of the things we're looking the most forward to this weekend is the finals of our Cornhole Mania. For national singles, it's going to be Cano versus Hisner and Ellis versus Graham. For national doubles, it'll be Harbaugh Malone versus Cano Hamilton and Graham Modlin versus Ellis and Hart. Shootout singles will be Rawls versus Wilson and Davis versus Cano. And shootout doubles will be Ellis and Hart versus Windsor and Creek Killer and Richards and Smith versus Reeves and Forbes. Jake, which matches are standing out to you, or what predictions do you have, or where are you at with all this?
Man, I want to start with this national singles bracket. These two matches are going to feed families. I am so excited to watch this, specifically this Jeremiah Ellis versus Jamie Graham. Jeremiah Ellis obviously has been one of the top two players in the entire world, but then you get a guy like Jamie Graham, who a lot of people aren't talking about simply because he doesn't travel a lot. But when he does come out to these tournaments, all he does is win. He won his national singles bracket, had to pair up against Jeremiah Ellis. This semifinal match is going to be exciting. And I'll be honest, for one of the first times this year, I don't know if Jeremiah Ellis is going to win this game. Jamie Graham, a proven winner on the broadcast side, a seasoned veteran. It's going to be tough for Jeremiah Ellis to take this one down. Then you go over to the other side. You got Gavin Cano versus Adam Hisner. Adam Hisner, 2-for-2 in national singles bracket wins. He's trying to get over that hump and make it to a overall finals. But standing in his way is that number two player in the world, I would say right now, in Gavin Cano. It's going to be a really fun one. I'm looking for an Ellis versus Cano rematch in the national singles final, but I don't know if it's going to happen. It's going to be really fun to watch. I'm also really intrigued by this Harbaugh Malone Cano Hamilton national double semifinal as well. Two top tier teams, Harbaugh Malone, another one of the super teams that were slated coming into the season, finally get over that hump and win their first bracket. They don't have an easy task in Cano and Hamilton either, but you know, with Tony Smith and Mark Richards not in it, it really opens the door for somebody else to kind of become the number one doubles team in the world. And I think either of those two teams could do it. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think Davis is going to get over the hump there this season?
I don't know. Shootout singles. We've got to play Gavin, though. It's going to be tough. Gavin's tough overall, but man, I would love to see it happen. I would think it would be pretty cool to see Eric Davis win that one.
Wally, how about you?
This is one of the first nationals where I want to see every single bracket, every single bag thrown. There is storylines and matchups galore. Quinn Reeves, Tony Forbes, an elite team going through a pro bracket. Granted, kind of an easier path, not the greatest PPRs, but they made it. And it's shootout doubles. So anyone's got a chance at this. I love the storyline of anyone can play, anyone can win, actually playing itself out here. You know, gives people like me hope. You know, so they got to take down Goliath there and Richards and Smith, and then Ellison Hart against Creek Killer and Windsor. You never know what to expect there on the other side. You touch around the head. Harbaugh Malone, Cano Hamilton, that's the one that I want to see. Ellison Graham, Cano Hisner. I love the way that those singles matches paired up, because I didn't want to see an Ellis Hisner rematch in round one. If we see it in the finals, I'm fine with it. If we get Ellis versus Cano in the finals, I'm fine with it. If Graham is back, you know, I'm fine with it. I love all the storylines that are kind of playing themselves out. You know, Team Ultra, they've got to be happy right now. They have basically three out of the four chances to win every single bracket. Rawls and Wilson going in the shootout singles. I mean, Wilson was very impressive on the broadcast. It was a race to 21. I want to see him kind of switch it up a little bit, because he is one of these players that feeds off of energy. So if Braden Wilson doesn't have the rounds to get himself fired up, is that going to hurt him, especially going against somebody like Alex Rawls, who, like I said, loves to control the center lane? I mean, we could have Lucky versus Lucky finals in the shootout. I mean, is Lucky Bags the best shootout bag to be thrown right now? I mean, is that a thing that we're missing out on? The storylines are just continuing to write themselves all across the board. So
do they all throw those pro sniper elites?
I believe Rawls is throwing snipers, right?
Okay.
No, I think he was.
That seems snipers. To be the bag right now, kind of like the Rawls
is Rawls is AAR. I'm tripping.
I say Rawls throws rippers.
Yeah, he switched now. So yeah, so maybe a little revenge. I don't know, but either way, I'm excited to see every single one of these matchups. I mean, we got some of the best players coming out of it, and there's still a lot that were, you know, left to be desired. We want to know what Harbaugh and Malone actually look like in this type of format. I mean, they had a great run in West Palm Beach, followed it up making the bracket. I think I'm going to keep my eye on them the most, but I predicted Cano and Hamilton to be the number one team at the end of the year, so they're going to have to take down this national to get there.
I will say the only thing I'm worried about with Cano and Hamilton are the board speeds. Mm-hmm. If the boards are as fast and as quick as they were in Palm Beach and in West Wego, that kind of raises a little bit of a hesitation for Fisher Hamilton, just because he throws so hard. But mm-hmm. if the board speed are able to slow down even just a little bit, I think it's going to be really hard to beat Gavin and Fisher. But like I said, we'll have to wait and see until we get there. Well, until you guys get there. I'm going to be glued to my TV all weekend.
He can't even handle it right now. He's falling apart on us. We will miss you, Jerry. Also happening there will be the Celebrity Super Bowl. So we have Raiders, Broncos, Titans, Texans. So Alexander Madison will be teaming up with Tanner Halbert, AJ Cole with Nick Williams, Alex Singleton with Cheyenne Bubenheim, and Quinn Miners with Sarah Cassidy. We have Steven Sims with Gavin Cano, Tim Settle with Alex Rawls, Legarius, I hope I'm saying that right, Sneed, Jeremiah Ellis, and then Arden Key with Mike Harvey. So the Super Bowl is always obviously a ton of fun, and I'm sure all those players will make it just as fun as the last one. So looking forward to that.
Gavin Connor's a diehard Texans fan Texans wide receiver. I think he's going to do whatever it takes possible to win that entire thing.
it's personal to him. I got you.
I'm surprised they're not hanging out already. Like Gavin wants this bad.
He's like, so do we just become best friends?
Look, I don't know. He may want that more than he wants any of the national or shootout brackets. I'm not even going to lie.
I want to see Mike Harvey back on the big stage.
Yeah.
The entertainer. Let's go.
Jeremiah Ellis is going to have a blast as well. So he earned that. Overreaction Wednesday, the Florida Freeze are the most disappointing team at this point in the season. Jake.
Not an overreaction whatsoever. I mean, you look at this roster. You have both Allen and Alex Rawls. You have Cheyenne Bubenheim. You have Matt Sorrells, Chris Kingsbury, Blaine Rozier, Jeremy Frazier. On paper, they should be running away with this division, because, like I said, you got the Cutters, who on paper still don't really look that well, that good, excuse me, and the Georgia Sliders, who, you know, are kind of like a middle of the pack kind of team as well. They should be running away with this division, but they're not. And I said it before, I'm starting to get a little nervous for them. They're running out of time. Halfway through, they don't have that much time left. You got to get going. You got to get going now. And if you don't, if they have a poor performance at our third national in Ramsey, Minnesota, I think they're done. They're done.
Well, so I got to hang up his hat.
A lot of pressure on them.
Sitting right there. I'm thinking about grabbing it. Not an overreaction. I'm going to be right there with you guys. It's disappointing. The Freeze are really underwhelming so far. During the draft, I did my little spiel about the Freeze and how many players are keeping. Then they traded away Ryan Hart and threw my whole thing out the window. And I'm kind of like, what are you guys doing? You know, I understand you wanted Sorrells, he's doing great. But they're running into the same problem that they ran into last year. You have to pick your matchups better. You have to pick your teams better. And that's going to determine it. Now, the good news for them is they're only six games out, and the first two teams are tied 31 and 31. So those are probably going to fall. I got my eye on the Freeze and the Sliders. If the Cutters continue to upset my 5-2 against them picks, Freeze are in a lot of trouble.
Adam Hisner will be top five this season.
Not an overreaction. Two national singles brackets, two national singles wins. It's obvious that at this point in time, Gavin and Jeremiah are 1A and 1B. But there is an absolute dogfight for that number three spot because you have players like Braden Wilson, like Ryan Trader, like Adam Hisner. You can put Jamie Graham in that mix now. I mean, there's so many people vying for that number three spot, and Adam Hisner is right in the mix of it. So top five, absolutely not. I would put him in the top three, maybe.
Wally?
Yeah, not an overreaction at all. Adam Hisner deserves to be there. He's been consistent in singles and doubles. You know, whenever he teamed up with Trey Birchfield, we were all kind of looking at Trey Birchfield, but I think it's been Adam Hisner carrying that squad the entire way, and he's backing it up with all his singles performances.
Richardson Smith will shut out Forbes and Reeves.
Now, this is a little bit of an overreaction. I mean, you got to give the boys, you got to give the elite boys some credit. They can perform as well as anybody, especially Tony Forbes. He's a local kid from up your way, so you obviously know how he is, Michelle. But, I mean, he's a national high school singles champion, so he has broadcast experience. He's a proven winner. He knows what it takes to win. I think the real question is going to come down to Quinn Reeves. If Quinn can stay calm, don't let the nerves affect him, and play like he knows he can, I wouldn't even be surprised if Quinn and Tony won the entire shootout, much less score a point on Mark Richards and Tony Smith.
I like it. Wally?
I think it's an overreaction. Shutting out in any type of, you know, qualifying or finishing bracket is going to be tough. I think Mark and Tony are going to take it down. But I think Quinn and Tony are going to give them a fight. I mean, I'm not going to count them out.
Okay. If Kano wins any pro event this weekend, he deserves to be number one.
As much as I love Gavin Kano, I think this is a little bit of an overreaction as well. Because he can win shootout singles and national doubles. But if he faces Jeremiah Ellis in national singles again and loses again, there is absolutely no way you can put him above Jeremiah. That's just the way it is. You can win literally everything else, but if you cannot beat the man who is vying to take that number one spot away from you, you don't deserve to be number one. Now, if he is able to beat Jeremiah and loses everything else, I think I would still put him over Jeremiah right now. But we'll have to see.
So you're looking to the matchup specifically?
Yes.
Got it. Yeah. Wally?
I'm in the exact same boat. I'm going to say that Gavin Kano has to beat Jeremiah Ellis in the finals and then take down one other bracket for me to put him at number one. Jeremiah Ellis has just been consistent. He's been strong. I mean, the events that he didn't go to, it kind of feel like an empty field. Gavin Kano has been improving every single step of the way. He's finally at the top, and these guys are ready to battle head-to-head, but he has to beat Jeremiah Ellis one-on-one.
I mean, and it's working out. It's working out. Gavin Kano already double-dipped him on the shootout side, and if things go chalk, it will be Gavin versus Jeremiah again in the national singles finals. I would pay an extensive amount of money to make that happen just to watch that. But we'll have to see what happens. You can't just write off Jamie Graham or Adam Hisner, but I think everybody's eyes in the cornhole world will be on Gavin Kano and Jeremiah Ellis this weekend.
Rightfully so. Ryan Hart is the most underrated player this season.
Not an overreaction, I don't think. No, a lot of people were confused at the start of the season when Jeremiah teamed up with Ryan, simply because, you know, a lot of people either didn't know who Ryan was or just simply thought that Jeremiah could find a better partner. And it took a little bit of, you know, I would say bonding to get the ball rolling for these two. They had a little bit of a sluggish start on the open side and a pretty disappointing first pro event as well. But, you know, after some time, after some connections, getting used to each other, looks like Ryan Hart's kind of found his groove a little bit. They won both doubles brackets, national and shootout in Colorado. I don't know. I think they're clicking at the exact right time. They look really good. And I think Ryan right now is one of, if not the most underrated player in the entire pro division.
Wally?
So I don't know if this is an overreaction or how I'm going to word this, but either way, I think he's overly rated right now, not because of his skill level. I mean, he's right now he's number 10. He's okay. Top 10. But what's concerning about this, and this is not meant to be an insult to Ryan at all. Ryan Hart is a top 25 player. Right now he's at 10. Between 10 and 25, you got Devin Harbaugh, Mark Richards, Jamie Graham, JBJ, Tony Smith, Logan Chamberlain, Alex Rawls, Fisher Hamilton, and Matt Guy.
That's insane.
Some of those guys are going to climb, okay? So he's properly rated for right now, but
he's probably rated in terms of the rankings, but in your head.
Yeah, in my head, he's not top 10.
But I'm saying everybody thought of him. I don't think anybody thought of him as starting the season as being a solid enough partner for Ellis, number one,
and
for being a top 25.
I did in doubles. I didn't see this in singles. So, okay. I mean, yeah.
So, I guess you can because you know him. I guess I can represent outsiders who had no idea who Ryan Hart was coming into this season.
Well, he won. He did win a shootout, right, last season.
Yeah.
So, there was that. But it felt like a fluke.
Everybody thought it was a fluke. But yeah, he dominated like Devin, though. He dominated Devin.
I know he did. Yeah, he did.
And we all look at that like, Devin's got a finishing problem. Like, yeah. Ryan won that game.
Totally dismiss his entire performance. Just straight to Devin, yeah.
Ryan's never going to get the love. Sorry, buddy. Love you.
I just gave you the love. They both agreed you're underrated, Ryan. Except Wally made it a little bit weird. But besides that, it worked. All right, it's time for hot takes. Go ahead, Jake.
Let's go. All right. Here we go. Hot take for this weekend. Gavin versus Jeremiah in the national singles final again. And it will be the best ESPN broadcast match of all time. I'm talking 40 plus rounds. I'm talking both players over a 10-5 PPR. And in the end, Gavin Cano finally beats Jeremiah in the race to 21 format. I'm really hoping Jake jinxes didn't just jinx him again, but we will see what happens.
Oh, I hate to be anybody he picks.
Wally.
All right, I'm going to focus on shootout singles here. I'm going to go with Braden Wilson taking down the shootout singles title this weekend.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm going to go over to where we had our overreaction. I'm going to say Reeves and Forbes upset Richards Let's and go. Smith. The elite Let's players go, come baby. Out and surprise us all.
You can stop there. They can win the whole thing.
If Quinn Reeves and Tony Forbes win the whole thing, I'm buying all three of us one of those Quinn Reeves t-shirts that everybody wears.
I already got one.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah, it'll be in the background. I'll be wearing it in the background.
Jake, we're
sure.
Not cool. I mean, that's just.
I know. It's fine. It's whatever.
Fine. It's just whatever it is.
Shout out to Alan Lee.
All right, guys. All right. We can't wait to bring all that fun cornhole for you this weekend. So tune in. And if you're in Vegas, definitely stop by the broadcast. We want you there in the audience. And you can be on TV. There you go. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
Peace.